Broadcasting from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Gas South Convention Center in Duluth, Georgia, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio is presented by Subaru of Gwinnett. You'll love the difference. Gwinnett Business Radio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts.
Greetings and salutations, loyal listeners of Gwinnett Business Radio. It is your slightly annoying co-host, Stephen Julian. I am sitting in the beautiful Subaru of Gwinnett Studios inside the beautiful Gas South District Convention Center and seated next to the charming, I'm not going to say beautiful, sorry, Garrett, the charming host of Gwinnett Business Radio, Garrett Irvin. Hey, Garrett.
Hey, Stephen, how you doing today?
I just couldn't call you beautiful. We're not there
I appreciate
yet.
That.
Yeah. No, I didn't think you'd like it either.
I would have had some different thoughts about you.
Yeah,
if you
yeah.
Didn't say that.
Charming. I can say charming. I can say competent. I can say entertaining. I can say a lot of fun to be around. I'll say all those things, right?
Just, yes. Yeah. Don't say beautiful.
I'm not going to say it. Trust
you.
Me.
Thank
I'm
you.
Not. Because no one has ever described you or I as beautiful in our life.
The face for radio, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yay.
Exactly.
I get paid a dollar every time someone says that.
I've got six now.
There you go. We have two great guests. We have Derek Owens here. He is from Dream Big. Before we get to him, we are going to talk to Miraj and Essen Hakim from Hakim's Studio. Gentlemen, welcome to the Gwinnett Business
welcome
Radio
to the
Studio.
Show.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you. So Hakim's Studio, your last name is Hakim. I think it's a family-run business. Tell us all about it.
Our grandfather started in 1959. We're third generation now and continuing the legacy of storytelling to this day.
Fantastic. And the storytelling is mainly through photography, but also other media?
Photo and video. That is correct.
Okay. So it is a third generation family run media production business, and it is headquartered here in Duluth, Georgia, but it also has some sister offices around the world. Tell us about that, Miraj.
Absolutely. So roots trace back to Karachi, Pakistan. That's where it all started. That's where my grandfather started the business and lived his life and grew the business to its potential. After that, dad and uncles kind of joined or started the business again. We, as a family, moved to Duluth in 2012 and since then been headquartered here. However, since it's a multi-generational family business, I've got several family members and cousins and uncles in the same industry. And so we've got offices still in Karachi, in Dubai, in Dallas, Texas.
So the main business, I don't even want to say main business, but what kind of is the bread and butter is mostly event and wedding photography and video, correct? And specifically on multicultural. So speak about that, Essen.
That is correct, Stephen. Multicultural is our niche and we love it. Hmm. We have gone into explore cultures such as Arab, Somalian, Persian, Iraqi, Afghan, Bangladeshi, Indian, Pakistani, just to name a few.
And the beauty of being headquartered in Duluth, and I know this because my kids went to school here, is you are in one of, if not the most multicultural areas in the entire world, but especially here in the United States, correct?
Absolutely, Stephen. And I was just doing my research before the show. It said one of the top 10 counties in the United States, diversity-wise, was Gwinnett.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
I joke that my son, when he first started going looking at colleges, all the different colleges were talking about how diverse, and he looked at me and he goes, these are nothing compared to being in Suwannee. I had 10 times more cultures experience with people around me in high school. So
you talk about doing multicultural events, and you guys do a lot of weddings. So how does that play into how you tackle weddings? Because obviously people want angle shots differently. They want their weddings recorded differently. I would imagine Americans want something differently than, say, a Pakistani family does. So how do you incorporate all those different styles into when you're doing a shoot at a different wedding?
I think every wedding is different. Everyone has different demands. Every tradition is different, right? So everyone, of course, wants something captured differently on one end, but also everyone has different kinds of rituals and traditions. So understanding different traditions is a big part of the game. However, on its core, weddings are just about preserving memories. And I think if we are present in the moment and if you're living the weddings instead of working the weddings, you tend to see those memories and those moments that much differently. And it's all about creating them, capturing them, so the couples and their families can kind of relive them. So even though all these multicultural weddings are so much different and we are honored and we love experiencing so many different cultures and weddings, at its core, wedding storytelling is just preserving, capturing, living those memories.
There's no doubt that a wedding is certainly one of the most important events in a young couple's lives. And they want to preserve that moment, like you said, for forever, for eternity. What are some of the techniques that you use, or what are some of the things that you offer unique from other wedding photographers that would really make someone want to use your product over other people?
I think the biggest one would be we make it very personal. I don't ever want to go in making the couple feel like I'm a vendor or making myself feel like I'm working a job, and to be able to be relatable and treat them as family. I think you get down to a level where it's very personal. A lot of wedding industry or a lot of events industry, you'll notice, works on a last name basis. And just to give an example, right? You go to a convention center and a sign outside and it'll say the wedding family's name. But for us, we make it an intention to make it a first name basis. And that's just the start of a personal relation, right? You ask me a couple that I did 10 years ago, I'll remember their first names. I won't remember their last names. And to me, that's just a start of how personal it can get, because at any wedding weekend, with multicultural weddings, we were spending about 20, 30 hours with the couple just within 3 days. And the relation has started about 6 months ahead, and the relation is going to last at least 6 months after, if not more. And we've got so many clients that come back for kids' birthdays and stuff like that. So I think making it very personal is one of the elements that we really ensure, and we want to make sure that we're on that one-on-one level where it's a friendly relation and I'm kind of their best friend at the wedding instead of a wedding photographer for them.
I think the other thing that comes out being personal is this is a multi-generational family business. So talk a little bit, both of you talk a little bit about what you've learned from your parents, from your grandparents for the business, because that's another thing that kind of sets it apart.
Stephen, I never met my grandfather, so I've only lived through the morals and the stories of my dad and my uncle. One thing that we learned, Stephen, is why we're here today with you, is the relationship building of our business is the cornerstone of it. And that is why we have been privileged to capture generational stories in weddings, such as the parents' wedding and now their children's wedding. And my dad and uncle continue disciplining us on these morals to this day.
Yeah. And Mehraj, you guys use tools. They're very different than what your dad used and what your grandfather used and uncles and things like that. So what did they teach you in terms of the technical skill that has applied even as the technology has changed?
I think even though technology has changed and cameras have changed, the principles of photography has not changed, right? Everything revolves around light and how you capture light. And I think that tools, like you said, have changed. The actual lights have changed, but the direction of light, the intensity of light, how you play with it hasn't changed. And I think that's the most technical principle we've learned over the years.
Great, great point. And I'm going to ask you a question. This is my question that I'm going to ask to test both of you, because if I ask this question, you may be tempted to throw this fantastic tumbler that Mehraj has that looks like a camera, has the camera lens on it. That's right, fantastic. I love that. Well done. Living the lifestyle. But I'm going to ask this question. In today's world, as the technology's improved, I would imagine you have probably heard, or at least it's been whispered in corners, well, why do we need to hire wedding photographers? And we could do this ourselves with our iPhone. Please speak kindly, but speak to the room about why they need to invest to use the expertise that you guys have.
There is no doubt that an iPhone or the latest phone has an amazing camera, right?
I've seen the commercials. All you got to do is point and click, right?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen Samsung and Apple kind of putting on their own shows on their phones, right? So there's no doubt that technically the quality is there. So two-part answer. I think technicality-wise, it's the operations of it. Even though a tool can do something great, can you really do? Can it really do what you want it to do, when you want it to do, and how you want it to do? So cameras technically will give you a lot better interfaces on how you want to customize and do what you want to do when you want to do. On the flip side, I think that this conversation has a bigger response outside of technicality. I think you're hiring us or you're hiring a great wedding photographer or cinematographer not because of the tools or the but it's purely on the skills of what they can produce cohesively, right? 10 shots on an iPhone can be great. Can you capture 10 hours and combine it and merge it into a 5-minute story? And that's the comprehensive approach that I think a wedding photographer, cinematographer can bring from the mindset, from the lens that they look at, and how to put together a story. And I think that's what can differentiate from someone shooting on an iPhone versus someone who lives and breathes in the industry.
Well, you're also basically a participant in the wedding that's not involved with the family, and you're kind of an outsider being able to dedicate time to capture those special moments that those people are caught up in at the time. And they're going to miss that moment if they're trying to catch it on their phone. So that's the beauty of being a photographer, hiring a photographer, a wedding, at least on my perspective, is knowing that someone's going to be there watching every moment and being able to capture those moments that you just don't anticipate are going to happen. But aside from weddings, you guys also do businesses as well. You're doing corporate shoots, promotional materials, marketing materials, or just mainly informative type videos for businesses. Could you explain a little bit more on what you offer to businesses, small and large? Because I imagine you work with basically any business.
Absolutely. So weddings for us is one side of the business, even though we live and breathe that and we love the storytelling. At its core, we pride ourselves in being storytellers. And the only goal in business is to move audiences and impact audiences. To your point, that doesn't happen just in weddings, but a bigger impact happens working with different corporations and different businesses, and especially small businesses, and helping tell their story and move their audiences. So a lot of the work we do is how I could describe would be internal and external corporate communication. So anything that can be used internally facing, training videos, or anything that could be used externally, marketing content is what we're able to do.
So if a CEO has a message for a large group of 1,000 people or 1,000 employees, and he wants to do a professional sit down, this is what I want to share with my employees. I want them to be able to see my facial expressions. Those are some of the things you do as well.
Absolutely. We've recorded CEO messages for an audience of 4 people in a room, and we've recorded CEO messages that have live streamed to hundreds of thousands of people. So anything in between is possible.
And talk about the photography side, Essen, of the corporate side. Headshots, event shots, talk about that.
Headshots, event shots, grand openings, galas, conferences, anything that has a mass group of people or even individual headshot focus that has a story to tell, we are there to bring our expertise.
I like that. So, and you know, we are a business radio podcast, and we spent most of the time talking about weddings. And hey, there's these corporate events too, and there's corporate needs for good photography and good videography. So I think we've come to the time, I'll let the brothers fight it out of who's going to do the whole spiel, who's got the best voice for this. I don't know. Don't ask me to vote. But yeah, for those people who want to get more information about Hakeem Studio and want to work with you, where do they go? Who do they call? What's the contact information? They both pointed at each. Sorry, I'm giving away the secret. They both pointed at each other. So maybe each of you give one contact. I don't know. You guys decide. How do people get in touch with Hakeem Studio?
To best get in touch with Hakeem Studio is the digital formats. Our Instagram at HakeemStudio.com, our corporate page at Hacks Media, and our mail at HakeemStudio.com. I'll let Miraj carry on the other contact information.
Hey, that's perfect. I think we pride ourselves in living the digital era a little too much. I mean, we're pretty responsive on anything Instagram and email and phone, so And we're happy to be personal, so just pick up the phone and dial 404-884-4562, and I'd be happy to chat with you.
And Hakim Studio, at least in the email, it's H-A-K, so Hakim is H-A-K-I-M, and then it's H-A-K-I-M-S-S. T-U-D-I-O.
Right.
So because it's all Hakeem's. It's the plural of Hakeem. It's a family business. So you got to get that one S and then the S of studio.
Absolutely. Right? Two S's in the middle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Miraj and S and Hakeem from Hakeem Studio. Thank you guys so much for being here. And one last real quick question. Obviously headquartered here in Duluth, but you can work in other areas. You have a sister office in Texas. I guess if the price is right, you'll travel to almost any wedding or corporate gig that you need to.
Absolutely. We've traveled several continents doing the work. And like you said, if price is right, and then there's no harm in traveling.
And still some connection back in Pakistan.
That's right.
And some work in that area around there as well. Right. So there you go. Man, world travelers in the Gwinnett Business Radio X studio.
Steven, do you want to take a shot where we're traveling next week?
Oh, yeah. I've got a 1 in 250 chance, I guess, depending on.
It's warm.
It's warm? Okay. I'm going to say the UAE.
Oh, I wish.
Okay.
It's Mexico.
Mexico. Oh, well, that's another one. Yeah. Don't let the Mexicans hear you say that. You still like going there, right? Now, is this for a wedding?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, have fun south of the border.
Yeah. Enjoy your trip. Safe travels. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, man.
That went by quick.
That was good. We need to have a corporate event where we get some photography done. Because after all, you and I, could they make us beautiful?
I don't know. Some opening footage of us walking in the studio. getting ready for the show.
Musical background?
Yes.
Oh, boy, I don't know. Yeah,
with some what's your entry music?
My walk-up song?
Your walk-up song, yes.
Oh, that's a good question. Probably I would steal Chris Jericho's ring entrance music when he did Judas. Okay. A song written by his band Fozzy. It's a great, great song. Although it's a bad message because Judas was the one who betrayed. But anyway, that was what I thought. Either that or I always like Macho Man Randy Savage used Pomp and Circumstance.
Oh, there you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll need that intro footage if you go video on this podcast, you know.
You do not want that. All right. It's time to get our other guest in here. Derek, you're here to save us because I took it off the rails. It's all my fault. Derek Owens is here from Dream Big. We are here to dream big. With you, tell all of our listeners about Dream Big and what the company does.
Definitely. We have family roots as well, so I'm just the representative from the family. My dad kind of started it with the healthcare division in the 70s. He got the healthcare division up to about $300 million a year, Congressional Medal of Honor. And then my stepmom was president of Motown, so I kind of learned, you know, through business with them. And then my stepdad and mom were professors. They were married to different people. She went to get her PhD. He was the professor. They end up getting married. They end up going into business. They end up getting bought out by Paraxo, this billion-dollar company. So guess what? At 21, I have an investor now. The parents. So I went into the restaurant business with the investment from the parents on the East Coast, not the West Coast parents. And then I made a deal with them. I said, if I could go get $1 million gross out the restaurant, not profit, but gross, could I borrow a couple $1 million? I did it. I moved around the corner, started a catering hall. We became the number one caterer in D.C. And then I said, well, you know what? There's a lot of space here, 18,000 square feet. I could do a nightclub in here, too. I didn't know what I was getting into. I got the nightclub, put the cages in. And then I got a nightclub and became like famous in town by mistake. I mean, I didn't plan this. I was a caterer. I was a restaurant guy. So then that happened. And then, you know, it just Prince became a friend. I introduced Prince to Serena. And then it just blossomed. Hmm. And then we sold the business. And then the real estate like 15x'd. I got it in a bad neighborhood. Then it became the great neighborhood. So then everyone started calling me. So I said, I need to go into venture capital. You know, everybody's calling. So that's how that came about. And then my owner of my bank, a good friend of mine, Doyle Mitchell from Industrial Bank, he calls and he says, the baseball, you know, the learners keep calling. You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to get involved in this new baseball situation in D.C.? I see your Atlanta Braves right there. Mm. So I said, yeah, we got to get in. So Tioka Jackson, ex-NFL, my buddy who developed the WARF I went to high school with, we got a little group together and we invested and we got a little piece of the pie over at the Washington team. So we're excited about that. Then I said, well, I got to keep on doing events for my new business. So then Dream Big was birthed. And I was like, no, I'm going to stop these events. But what had happened is the mayor, the county exec, the governors, you know, they want to go where the money is and where the people are. So we've been able to create a situation where they come in and speak to our members as well. So it's worked out. Then we advanced, we said, let's expand. So our first expansion location, guess where it is? Atlanta, Georgia. So now we do events here as well. So we're in venture capital, events, and we have a marketing agency. Because I learned a lesson when I had the nightclub, a friend of mine I grew up with, he said, can I get all the emails at the front door? I said, yeah, yeah, we don't care about that. Then my competitor down the street, he said, oh, we don't care. Take our emails too. We end up paying him to send the emails out for us. That he, so I said, never again. So now we have 60,000 on our CRM of businesses, and people call us now when we're not doing our events to, you know, help market their stuff. So I've learned that through our marketing agency. So we help businesses there as well.
So what events, what type of events, especially here in the metro Atlanta area, would people expect to see with a Dream Big event?
So we do about 100 to 125 people twice a month, all businesses. And, you know, it depends. You can just come in and network, or if you really want some serious action, we can, like this financial service company, he said, Derek, I want more than the event. So we were able to work a deal out with him where we sent him like 120 to 130 hot leads in 2 weeks, and he closed about 15 contracts off of that. So
an event is free to attend? Okay.
Free.
And then when does it not become free? When I want leads out of it?
Yeah. He is so smart. Now I see why he's a partner.
A broken clock, is right twice a day.
If you,
Derek,
if you want the hot sizzling leads, you know, that we send personally out, it'll cost a little bit. But then also we have, it's funny that you're here at the arena here, because we just visited last week. We're going to do our first big quarterly Dream Big event for about 3,000 to 5,000 people. And that'll cost a little money, you know, to get it.
When's that event going to occur here then?
It looks like September. And in fact, Faith, Director of Operations, Faith, she's upstairs right now trying to get the date right now.
Okay, and you've got your room all picked out and everything here?
Yeah, we got the room picked out. You know, we're not ready for the arena yet, but
okay.
We got one of the rooms, smaller rooms.
Well, you need to hire Hakeem Studio to do some of your promotional material for that.
I mean, that's why they're here. It's not by mistake.
So you've got a big network of businesses, and that's part of your business is providing contacts for other people. So how many businesses are in the Dream Big CRM? So, I think you mentioned 60,000.
Yeah, we have about 60,000 now.
Do you have particular categories of businesses that you enter, or is anybody allowed in the Big Dream Business Network?
Anybody's allowed in the Dream Big Network, because what we find out is you don't know who wants to do business with who. We could say that, you know, you guys want a certain target audience, but what I found out is someone outside your target audience might just want your service. So we let everybody network.
And how can you help businesses grow then?
So, for example, I'm going to use another example. Someone in medical and legal, they were like, okay, I'll get involved with you guys. And then we sent them about 100 hot leads. And I was just surprised. Everyone was closing for them. I was like, we need to renegotiate our deal. Because everyone we sent 10 deals, they closed 9. We sent 30 more, they closed 25. So we can select which ones we think are right for you.
So if somebody comes to, let's go back to kind of, I guess, the main event, the one that this has all been built on over the last few years has been this, you said twice a month.
Twice a month in D.C. and twice a month in Atlanta.
Okay, so the twice a month event that people can come to, what will people experience that show up at that? Is just a room full of, is it like any other networking event, or is there something very unique about the Dream Big?
Well, we say we're unique because a lot of networking is just networking, but we get deals done. So I'm very active. So meaning, you know, you'll have some speakers speak, you'll have everyone networking. But let me give you an example of one situation. A gentleman, he was like one of our platinum members, and he was doing government contracting, and he's doing about $500,000 a month. He's like, Derek, I need $2 million. So one of my other members, he says, Derek, you mentor me, so I need to know where to put this $6 million. The same night, the $6 million, can you help me? So I'm running up and down the stairs. So I did a deal right then. He needs some money to grow. He needs to place some money. So sometimes we just do the deals right in the room.
So you mentioned a platinum member. So it is free to attend. What are the different levels of membership? And are there?
So we have vending. You can be a vendor for $99.
Got it.
We have Inner Circle Gold for $500 a month. Then we have the platinum, which is more like $10,000 a year. Those are for the $1 million-plus companies that really, I call it, make it rain. You know, they want some real action. And example of those two businesses, I think the first month or two, they probably made about $20,000-$30,000.
So when you're and then I guess you're really the linchpin. You're the one that's kind of making a lot of the deals happen. You're the one sending the hot leads that you've mentioned a couple of times. That's a separate thing as people come to the event and recognize, wow, I am making some good connections. There's opportunity to do business here. There's opportunity to go beyond being a vendor and things like that. Then they can shake hands with the marketing company side of things. Is that
exactly?
Okay. All right.
You just come for free. You know, you may
check it
out.
You may
love it. And a lot of people get business just coming.
Yeah.
But then
One
of my Inner Circle guys, he whispered in my ear, you know, 3 weeks ago, he was like, we need to talk about the Inner Circle. Because he was getting business in the room, and he said, I think I can get more business if I up it. So then he experienced that, and he just said it's the best investment he ever made in his life.
For just a second, when you said he leaned in and whispered in your ear, I thought he was going to say, you're really beautiful, man.
So, after he said that.
then he got down to business. Sorry, just keeping the theme as we go through. You are a beautiful person, Derek.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, Derek, I was doing a little reconnaissance on your website before the show yesterday, and one of the things that you had mentioned on your show was, or your website, is that you do wealth advisory as well.
Yes.
Would you mind digging into that a little bit deeper? Like, what are some of the services as far as wealth advisory do you offer to clients? Are there certain target clients that you're after, certain size businesses that you're trying to target?
Yes. So basically we're more on the venture capital side, but we have a wealth advisory partner that we refer all the business to now because of Dream Big, there's lots of businesses, so we can't just be in one business anymore. So we refer that out to our wealth advisory team. And it's everything, retirement, you know, IUL indexes, the whole caboodle.
And the venture capital, talk about that for a second, because that is that still a part of what you do? Is that part of the deal that you're trying to help people get venture capital for themselves? You're still a venture capitalist yourself?
Yeah. So what I do is, after we sold, we did like 15X, everybody's calling me in D.C. So I said, okay.
They all want a piece of your money.
Only a piece. But I didn't have enough money. I mean, they're calling for baseball and NBA. I was like, I don't have that. We didn't do that well. You know. So then I reached out to my inner circle. You know, one of my buddies has 15 hotels. Another one has about 20 in the family office he represents of his family, about $3 billion. Another, you know, so I have a dozen guys that have anywhere from $1 billion to $4 or $5 billion. So I really just tie you into the family offices, and we've done everything from dispensaries to IT to baseball, almost NBA. We almost had the Memphis Grizzlies, but oh my God, I couldn't get, I'm not gonna tell you the name of the two NBA guys, but they had no money, and they've made like $300 million, but they had no money at this time. I brought my hotel buddy in, he's putting up all the money. I had 8% of the Memphis Grizzlies, guess what? We had them for $285. Lost the contract because the inner fighting between the two groups, and now they're worth $2 billion. So that's a sore point on me, the Memphis Grizzlies.
You may or may not occasionally check the valuation of the Grizzlies.
Are they more now?
Dang it! No, I don't know. I was going to say you may go another $500 million. I lost out on.
Exactly. And then another good one is Revolt TV. I know it's not a popular thing with P. Diddy these days, but that was one of the media outlets he owned. So when he got in trouble, I was just telling myself, you know, this private school I pay for my son is like $50,000 a year. I know I'm going to get one deal a year out of this. You know what I mean? We're business guys, you know. So, you know, with all these wealthy people around, senior year, senior day baseball, I hadn't done one deal. I was like, okay, he'll get some deals. That same day I put that in the universe, someone sat next to me at the game and said, "You did baseball deal, right? I need you to talk to someone." He put me in touch this gentleman, Tom Wasserman, $200 billion fund, who funds a lot of entertainment. And they were trying to move that gentleman out the deal. So we put an offer in for $80 million. They wanted $150. It didn't go. Maybe I was supposed to just meet Tom Wasserman. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Derek, I appreciate kind of giving us a behind-the-scenes look of what it is that you do through Dream Big. There's a lot of different layers to this. There's entry level. I appreciate the stories that, you know, the stories of success. And then the stories that people would go, well, why is he telling that story? That wasn't a success. But that's part of success.
I've had more failures than success.
Which is why baseball is the greatest sport, because the best hitters fail 7 out of 10 times.
Thank you. I'm probably 8 out of 10.
Okay, that's the Mendoza line. The Mendoza line in business with the right deal, it still works out well. So for those people who want to find out more about Dream Big, who want to get on the calendar for the events, and they want to find out more about how you might be able to help them, how do they get in touch with Dream Big?
You can go to Derek Owens Presents on Facebook, Derek Owens Presents on IG, but I'm a little more hands-on, guys. I like giving my number out. My team hates it. Oh, you shouldn't be so personable.
It's a little old school.
It's old school. Yeah. You shouldn't be on the field. You should be in the office box. 202-439-3111. I like to touch the client, and then I'll give you the director of operations, Faith Gordon. But that's old school. I'm sorry.
I love it. There's nothing wrong with old school.
It's your business.
Yeah, it's your business. You can do whatever
you
want.
I like it.
Derek Owens with Dream Big, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Garrett, you know what I love? I love it when we get business owners who are passionate about their business. I also like it. Both businesses gave their phone number. That's old school, and that works. I like it. See, the Hakeem brothers learned that from their father.
They did.
Learned it from the uncles. Give out the phone.
Well, their father was very successful, so they better learn something from them.
I think they learned a lot from them. So I
think so too.
Yeah, we'll have to do another episode where we talk about what we learned from our fathers, but I don't think we have time for that now. What do we have time for, Garrett?
We do have a quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio is presented by Subaru of Gwinnett. You'll love the difference. And Gwinnett Business Radio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts.